Hey guys, Tom Laird, voice of advice from a call center geek, CEO at Expedia. Hey, the podcast is brought to you by Expedia Interaction Marketing. We are a 600-seat call center outsourcer. I would love to talk to any of you looking to outsource any of your customer support or your sales functions, looking for political calling or just some extra overflow during the holiday season. If you are looking for any type of USA outsourcing support, hit me up. You guys know my LinkedIn. I'd love to talk.
This is Advice from a Call Center Geek, a weekly podcast with a focus on all things call center. We'll cover it all from call center operations, hiring, culture, technology, and education. We're here to give you actionable items to improve the quality of yours and your customers' experience. This is an evolving industry with creative minds and ambitious people like this guy. Not only is his passion call center operations, but he's our host. He's the CEO of Expedia Interaction Marketing Group and the call center geek himself, Tom Laird.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Advice from a Call Center Geek, the call center and contact center podcast, where we try to give you some actionable items that you can take back into your call center, improve your agent performance, improve the overall call center culture, hopefully improve the customer experience. And maybe after this episode, we can improve your business continuity as well. How's everybody doing? It's been a little crazy. I know it's been crazy here in our contact center, and I know it's been a unique operating environment for a lot of you guys out there. You know, we've had some long hours. Hopefully together we can get through this, and with this podcast, hopefully I can help you guys, and we can help you a little bit too. So unique times here calls for unique episodes, and we have a guest today that he was gracious enough to join us. As I really can't imagine how busy his team and himself are right now. So with us is Paul Herdman, the head of global customer support for NICE inContact. You know, while we're all worried about our internal and our BPO call centers, he's worried about really thousands of customers and their call center operations. So, Paul, I know you have to be crazy busy. So, I appreciate you, really taking a couple minutes with us to talk to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. This week has been the longest year of my life. It's what it feels like. So it's good to be here. Good to have my first episode with you. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, nice. I'm excited. I'm ready to go.
Let's do this. Let's break the internet. Let's do this.
Paul, I know who you are. We've become pretty good friends here through, it's no secret that I'm a NICE inContact customer. And we've talked a lot about different products and things that you guys have that I have enjoyed. But can you just kind of give everybody a quick background of you, kind of what your role is at NICE inContact, and then we can get into some of the discussions I think that people will be really interested in here.
Yeah, sure. So I'm the global head of customer experience. So I run the customer experience group for NICE inContact, which is our traditional customer experience function. So customer journey mapping, journey design, continuous improvement, that sort of function, metrics, measurement, those sorts of things from a customer experience perspective. Also what we call technical account management, or sometimes called the customer success function. So the folks that look after customers throughout their entire journey and life cycle. Technical support. So when you have problems with your software, calling our engineers to help get support. And then also our problem management and change management functions, which are platform functions that help us ensure we do the right things and do it the right way. And when we do make mistakes, that we find root cause and fix them permanently and make sure that we produce the right technology that works every day.
No, and I think that's probably a good kind of launching pad to the first question that I have for you. And this is something that I think really interests me is, everybody knows really what NICE inContact does from the telephony platform and from all the tools that you guys have. But you don't really think about it that you're relatively you have a large contact center operation when it comes to the technical support. And that's really, it's global. So I think it'd be interesting. Can you just tell people who are listening really what your team has done in the wake of COVID-19 and kind of maybe take us through the high level process of how those early internal meetings went when you saw something was going on, what was discussed, when did that button get pushed, and kind of some of the things that you have implemented in your contact centers?
Yeah, sure. Maybe let's start with some context. So NICE inContact, as the cloud, the SaaS unit, has about 1,700 or so employees in all functions spread around the world, and we have more than 30 offices. From a support perspective, we run a global footprint, so 24/7, so you can always call and get help from an engineer, get questions answered. So that really runs on a continuous basis. We take calls in various locations in the U.S. We have, obviously, remote engineers in the Philippines. We also have a large center, and that's a full-service center for us. So we have a network operations center there. We have all functions So it's not really a contact center per se. It's a Asia Pacific headquarters, head office. But inside that head office, we do have some technical support functions as well. And so we're, as you said, we're global. We've got more than 100 engineers at any given moment who are working with customers around the globe, helping to make their lives better. And so this process, it puts us in an interesting position because we're obviously the provider of these products and services out to the market, but we're also a consumer of our own products and services. So the last, several weeks have been very interesting for us as we're solving internal challenges, first and foremost, to make sure we have all the continuity we need and we can continue to provide service. But then also, how do we take and package those best practices out to the market so that everyone who's listening and calling and needing help can also say, okay, this is what we do, and therefore we recommend this is what you do. Right. So for us, this process started in January. I was actually in the Philippines in January doing a series of yearly kickoff meetings when this when the COVID issue really took hold in China. So that for me was really when it hit my radar, being in proximity. And while I was there doing kickoff meetings, obviously there was a lot of noise and a lot of churn in the news about what was happening in Wuhan. And so much so that I couldn't even get a mask to buy in Metro Manila for the flight home. So we're now talking about 8 weeks ago or so.
Yeah.
So, so there's me flying home, right? I did finally find a mask and flew home. Obviously, we were pretty early days at that point. Little did we know what we know now. But that was really when this process started for us, coming back and saying, wow, there's something happening here, right? And if this gets bigger than a bread box, we're going to have to start preparing because we have an office that's very close. We have customers all over the world. And so that was really the process when things, conversations got kicked off and started. So we did a lot of internal prep on capacity planning and refreshing the ongoing BCP and all of those sorts of elements that you do, right, when you're, thinking that something could happen. So we really did that over the last several weeks. And of course, the last 10 days or so have really been, the catalyst, right, with government action. Philippines, even as we're recording this, Metro Manila is on a state of lockdown, which is affecting massive BPOs and companies who run a lot of support out of Manila. So we've had to virtualize our entire organization, as many companies have, including our tech support engineers. So we did a lot of prep, a lot of planning around how that would work. And when we pushed people remotely, the benefit or the advantage we have that others sometimes don't have is we can use our own products and platform. So we already have a platform that will allow us to be virtual, to have an integrated phone that we can take calls and pass traffic and data. So we really said, okay, let's, in some cases, we're going to eat our own dog food here and let's use our own products and really leverage them to the fullest so that we can continue to support customers when they need it most.
No, that's kind of crazy, to think about where you were too and kind of getting back and thinking that through, maybe even connecting the dots, looking backwards, like, oh my gosh, of coming back from that really when things just started. So no, I appreciate that. And I think, you guys, it's been interesting as well from a lot of call centers and BPOs and internal call centers that we talked to of how quick this happened.
Yeah.
And how quick, you really had to have a plan internally. And so I can't imagine, the scale of what you guys had to do from just protecting the health of your guys and your employees to really saying, hey, what do we do with our customers as well?
And it's a challenging environment, right? That once the government, whether it's, state, local, regional, federal started to get involved, things started to change quickly, right? And that's really where we put a lot of stress and strain on the plans that we had made because curveballs, as everybody who's going to listen to this know, right? Curveballs are coming by the minute. And so how do we adapt? How do we, we had a great plan, right? This is a great Mike Tyson quote, right? Everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face. And that's really what this is, right? You have a plan and then we're adapting, really in real time on the fly. The good news is, for our customers and for us, we've got some technology behind us that was really built with that in mind. And so we don't have technology considerations. We can really then focus on the people, the human element of how do we get people in a safe place and allow them to take care of customers.
Yeah, and it's operating, right? It's operating in an uncomfortable environment, for even our call center of moving, you know, a couple hundred agents from a brick and mortar, and I'm an anti at home person from security to, whoa, that's not going to work.
Yep.
And to be able to flip that switch and to come through and I guess kind of operate in an uncomfortable environment, but it's kind of work. But so I want to talk about that. So what are some of the pain points that you've heard from customers and just kind of as a side note too, and maybe before you answer that, like, have you guys seen a huge spike in volume of call volume globally? Have you seen certain channels kind of maybe take over or just scale to a point where it's been like, wow?
Yeah. 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 So I would say there's two pieces to that for me. from an external perspective, what we're seeing with our customers is really an unprecedented increase in volume. So, you know, their end customers calling our customers to get help, you know, certainly as events get rescheduled and things get canceled and, you know, you kind of go through any of those industries, whether it's retail, whether it's healthcare, whether it's technology, something is happening in all of those industries that is driving just an inordinate amount of volume to our customers, which obviously drives it, you know, then to us via the technology. And I would say internally, us supporting our direct customers, we've seen an increase, 15, 20, 25% increase in volume coming in. Those are our customers, you know, needing help, needing advice, mm-hmm. needing us to look at something, which I would just say, I think we're still at the early days of this. I do think that we're going to see more than that in the coming days and weeks. And so we've prepared for, you know, volumes much more than that. So right now, you know, we're kind of easing into it, which has been good, but volume is up. Phone volume is up significantly across the board. So certainly it's very interesting that, you know, in times of duress, the number of people who are reaching out for that person-to-person phone contact has gone up just significantly. Certainly there's, you know, diversions that are happening, right, to whether it's AI or chatbots or whether it's, you know, fully functioning IVRs that allow self-service. A lot of customers are deploying those types of avenues as they should, but people are really wanting to talk to people right now, which has been very interesting to watch.
Yeah, like a 180 shift in kind of where we thought everything was going if you would have said something, whatever, three, sure. 6 months ago.
Absolutely.
Hey, can you talk then about, you know, and again, we don't want to make this a sales podcast, but I think what you guys are doing is unique. I know personally that it is really, it's eased my brick and mortar mindset to talk about some of the tools that you have available and that Nice and Contact has available to make that shift to a virtualization a little bit better. You know, there is the integrated soft phone that you guys, I know, have had deployed, but really I'm sure took a full bore, oh my gosh, we got to get this thing out or we have to get it implemented. That's what we did here. So basically it's no licensing. It's, I got a username, I got a password, and I'm taking calls. You know, that was a huge thing for me as we're trying to get everybody out to work from home. So can you kind of talk about some of the things that you guys have implemented?
Yeah, sure. And I think, you know, kind of to your previous question about what issues are we seeing, that was probably the biggest one. A lot of calls, a lot of emails, a lot of meetings with customers just genuinely saying, how do I do this? Physically, what do I do? What technology, you know, how am I going to make this happen? I've got 10 agents, I've got 10,000 agents, you know, what do I do here? And that integrated soft phone, and there are other, you know, pieces of the platform that have been around for more than a decade. And it is very interesting that, you know, when the times change, you know, certainly you rely on some things more heavily than you did in the past. And you're right, what we've seen with integrated soft phone is it's always been a product that's been there. And it's always been, you know, one of adoption for people who had remote workers, you know, kind of in real time or all the time. But there's been really a rush, as you can expect, integrated soft phone, the ability to deliver that call via the internet, you know, have the phone on the screen, no need for a physical hard phone has really been everything in this push. It's the same as what our engineers are using. So, you know, if you call for help with our organization, we're using the exact same product today with our own teams. And so that's been big. I would say there's another piece that maybe was a bit unexpected. You know, customers are calling and saying, you know, I've got this location and I've got my teams and I've got, you know, my mojo going here, right? I know everybody. I can see the whites of their eyes. I know if they're motivated in the morning. I know what I can expect from a productivity perspective. How do I do that now that I can't see them? And we've had a lot of conversations with customers who are adding workforce components. So whether it's workforce management, or workforce intelligence inside the routing engines, you know, quality management for increased QA. Now that their folks aren't there anymore, they really want to figure out how they ensure productivity and, you know, how do we do forecasting and how do I know if I have enough people? You know, what can I expect from a productivity perspective? And so those products, which have always been there, you know, certainly they're stalwart products of the contact center industry. A lot of customers that were less reliant on those before are really starting to be reliant upon them now. And they want it to be easy because everybody's stretched to the max. So having those products, you know, there inside the suite that all talk to each other has been an advantage for us, you know, in the last couple of weeks. And it'll certainly be an advantage as we go forward because productivity is, you know, as we all know, is everything in these times, especially when you've got increased volumes and increased stress.
It's been, I know, and I appreciate that. And I think even from an operational standpoint, from a procedures, from policies, like I've seen kind of an outpouring as well of, you know, people, you know, even on LinkedIn and just requesting, guys, how do I do this? How do I do that? So, you know, from a technology standpoint, if you can start to answer some of those questions, and then, you know, us as a, I guess, a call center community, for maybe not the best way to put it, but, you know, can kind of help each other. We can kind of get through some of that. But yeah, I mean, I've definitely seen, and we've talked about, you know, now that we're virtual, right, we got to make sure that we're operating and that we're making sure that we're efficient and that our quality stays the same as if we're operating in a brick and mortar.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. I would say maybe one more element that we get, and this is, I think just, maybe it's a bit par for the course, but we get a lot of calls now about agents working from home. And what type of equipment do I need? What type of bandwidth do I need? You know, so there's a lot of those. When you take, you know, several hundred agents who are running in one center controlled maybe by a centralized group or an IT team, and then you virtualize to, you know, 400 individual homes with 400 individual internet connections and 400 sons or daughters playing Xbox downstairs in the basement, right, while people are trying to work and take calls upstairs, you know, it certainly does add a different dimension. So we're getting a lot of that volume, as you might expect, and helping troubleshoot, you know, whether it's giving advice on how to prioritize router traffic through your home internet router, or, you know, those right. sorts of things, just right. to make sure that, you know, folks who are typically not used to working at home, you're not going to think through those things. And, you know, all you're going to know is, I don't understand why my audio is choppy, you know, and you're going to call for help. But there's a lot of things that go into it now in this virtualized environment.
Yeah, a lot of variables for sure. Hey, a quick question that kind of goes with that I get a lot too, and I think it goes with the size and scope of the call center. Obviously, if you have 10,000 agents, it's very difficult to literally give a computer or a laptop or something to bring home. Have you seen that too, where the difference between actually customers giving a computer or giving a system or some way to communicate other than using their at home?
For sure. So I would say there's a couple of flavors. You know, obviously some organizations are able to give out laptops. Certainly in the contact center, you know, that might be a hit or miss proposition, might be more for different functions. A lot of folks are giving out thin clients, which will work just well, right? Work perfectly well in this scenario, as long as you've got the right internet connection, right? And you've got the right, you know, tools that are installed. So we're seeing a bunch of that as well. And then we are also seeing, you know, we've given out some guidelines for you can pretty much, you know, with an asterisk, use most devices to access, you know, the SaaS platform and the integrated soft phone. And so we're also seeing a ton of that where, you know, any device you happen to have, as long as it, you know, meets the requirements and can download, right, you have admin rights and can do some things to it, you can use those devices. So I would say we're seeing a mix. From our perspective, you know, if you're calling us for help, we're going to troubleshoot it the same way, right? And take the same tact. Doesn't really matter who gave you the device you're using. It's pretty much all the same to us. So we're definitely seeing a mix. Obviously, the thin clients have been maybe faster and easier for customers to deploy if they had some in stock. Interestingly enough, one of the biggest things that we talk about and that we're seeing a run on is headsets. I was with a bunch of customers and we made a joke that, you know, in the contact center industry, headsets might be the new toilet paper, right? And so certainly, you know, high quality and able to do that. If you were using a hard phone or if you had a headset that worked for the hard phone, but wasn't USB for now you're working at home, you could have a problem. So there's a lot of headset questions as well.
Yeah, Paul, I just on LinkedIn basically said, hey, guys, and started a post that says if anybody has them, if you can sell them, if we have If you have a glut of them, can you help some people out? I offered some free advertising. I mean, the podcast gets about, I don't know, 2,000 downloads per episode. I said, hey, I'll give you, went to Logitech and Plantronics and said, guys, if you can help us out, maybe, we'll give you some free advertising here. But no, it's crazy. The need, you can't find anything on Amazon.
Yeah.
Who would have the new toilet paper?
I envision you driving around the Midwest, you're scrounging up headsets, right, to hand out. I think that's your weekend gig.
Yeah, sounds great. Hey, do you think that this changes everything? Like, and when I mean that, how people are viewing cloud versus premise, which I think there was a huge move to the cloud anyway, sure. But really from a disaster recovery, from a business continuity, from a multiple site, does this change the type of products that you guys were into or looking to release? Does that change the thought process of what's going on?
I think we will be different after this, right? I think this event, in history is significant enough for a lot of reasons that we're going to be different. I don't think there's any way we can be the same. When I think about the contact center industry specifically, I agree with you. I think you're right. There was already a move or a movement that was happening. I think, for those that were still kind of cautiously studying and approaching how to do it, I think this certainly, shines a really bright flashlight or spotlight on the fact that you need in these sorts of times a plan B and a plan C. And so I do think there will be some renewed interest, some renewed vigor in conversations around how we do it. I think from a product perspective, certainly we as an organization have always been pushing towards AI and orchestration. And I think that will only renew this event will only renew that focus. Right. Certainly there's a big focus on human to human contact right now. And that makes sense because of the early days of this. But also what a lot of customers are seeing is there just aren't enough humans. And so how do we take care of customers in these sorts of times and do it well? And so that'll certainly maybe stoke the fire even more around AI and automation, things like robotic process automation to make the agents' lives easier so they can go on to the next human-to-human contact and let some RPA, let some robots, do the after-call work and those sorts of things. So I think it will push a bunch of those envelopes maybe harder than they had been pushed before, because a lot of flaws get brought to the surface, in a time of crisis. And so certainly, I would say, that's where we are.
No, and that you just answered my next question was going to ask, you think that this is the jump to really to the AI? And I think you're right. I think it's, if you're not thinking about that or if you weren't, or if you're kind of like putting your toe in the water, I think you really do need to look at it, because people are going to say, hey, maybe I can only keep 20, but I need to have that, like you said, that plan B, that plan C, and maybe that's part of that.
There's a digital channels piece to this as well. So, we're doing voice, we're doing chat, maybe we're doing email as kind of the standard three. But I think what a lot of companies are going to experience over the coming weeks is if they had the ability to handle way more channels, right, and engage customers where they are, rather than having customers come to where the company is, that they could handle issues faster with less rework. And so I do think there's going to be a renewed press for how do I really go to market with WeChat and Weibo and Facebook Messenger and pick the platform of the day so that I can really get out to customers where they are. And so part of what we are already seeing is part of the queuing and part of the hold times that I think have just become somewhat commonplace across the world now is because we're funneling customers into certain channels and those channels are getting backlogged. So the more channels and the easier you can manage those across your business, the more you can get to customers without having them come to you.
Yeah. And that's a whole nother conversation I'd love to have with you, or we've had, but you and I can maybe have at some other point. Cause I think that's fascinating. And I think that's where things are moving to for sure. We even see it now when, every RFP we used to have would have one channel, like, hey, we need email help or chat or voice help. And now it's those three and really pushing towards, hey, you guys do Facebook? That's what people are asking now, right?
Sure.
Yep. So it's the evolution, I think, for sure of that. So let's talk about that as kind of an end note to this, and we'll kind of maybe get off COVID-19 and kind of virus talk and that kind of stuff. But, you know, let's talk about everyone's kind of favorite topic that they think they do know about, but really nobody does. And that is, you know, what you were discussing with AI. Can you, I did a podcast and kind of broke down like the three things that I think are coming up next, but, you know, can you maybe talk about, you know, just the dialogue flows and real-time transcription with the agent assist and what you think are the first cog of AI of what's going to really be here and affect all of us and things that we should be looking at now. And then maybe, you know, what should we be looking at in a year, 2 years or a couple of years down the road?
Yeah. It's a great topic, right? Because it's, you know, AI, if you've got AI in buzzword bingo, you're guaranteed to be a winner, right? That's the square that pays, right? In buzzword bingo. So it's everywhere. And so, you know, from our perspective, certainly AI is a core component of where we are today and where we're going. AI is a bunch of things, right? It's very loosely defined. You know, ask three people to define AI, you get five answers. But for us, today, inside of our existing product suite, we have AI in a bunch of places, right? So you can talk about chatbots, you can talk about, you know, intelligent routing. And so it already exists today. And I would say it exists really well in point solutions. So if you have something that a problem you need to solve, there's probably a bot that can do it for you today. Where we're going from an AI perspective is more integrated AI. And so that's when we talk about, you know, the Google Dialogue Flows or the IBM Watsons, and there are a bunch of those type of providers that allow you to be a multi-point solution for AI and get some consistency of that experience. I think that's really where we're going. And then the next step is, how do we embed that sort of, you know, multi-point or horizontal AI across multiple functions? So not just in your IVR, right? Not just the ability to have a chatbot or a voice bot. I think those are, you know, those solutions are here today, but how do we do it in, you know, more complicated or maybe more back office functions like workforce management and quality management? You know, how do we do things like agent assist, right? So to make the agent's life easier and use AI to do those elements. Those for us are, you know, kind of the here and now AI pieces. And then certainly, you know, where we go next is, it's not, in my mind, it's not a replacement of agents in any way, shape, or form. It's an empowerment of agents. It's making the agent's job more focused on taking care of that human, whether it's a chat, whether it's a tweet, whether it's a phone call. How do we use AI to take off some of those elements that humans have been doing, but really they could have been doing more personal touch, more specialization, more personalization with the customer. But instead, a lot of their time is spent doing things that technology could do for us. That, in our view, is the next, you know, kind of evolution of AI and how we don't eliminate agents. We really empower agents, and the agent role, in many cases, in my opinion, you know, gets more complicated, you know, not easier. We're gonna take away some of the easy stuff from technology, but now it's, how do we coach and train agents to really connect on a human level with someone? How do we, you know, really drive high value touches? When those customers get to a human, we're going to expect a high value touch, which can change the staffing models and the training models and hiring. And so all of those sorts of things is really where I think we're going with AI as, you know, something that empowers that movement.
How far away is that? You know, how far away is really having an agent assist and some real-time transcription of what's going on and having it look and really being able to help and assist the associate with what the customer is saying?
I would say in most cases that's measured in, you know, days, weeks, months, not years. Okay. You know, so that piece of the future is here now. And so certainly, you know, the adoption of that will grow and momentum will grow. Certainly it's, you know, very new technology, even for some of the providers who are going to be doing some of the, you know, kind of the hardcore AI pieces. Some of these modules are very new for them. So they're still growing and learning how it works and what they can make it do, those sorts of things. So I would say we're in kind of a growth and experimentation phase with that right now. The technology is there, it exists. You know, it's a question of how do we make it do what we want it to do. Once we get past that phase and we get the best practices established and we get it, you know, kind of documented, that's really where then you'll start to see adoption. But the early adopters right now are already there. They're already pushing. You know, they're already playing with things and breaking things and all of the elements we need to do, right, to experiment and really design what's next. That's already happening now.
And then, Paul, I guess last question here. Do you see, you know, is there any other things that maybe are under the radar or any other tools? I mean, again, everybody talks about AI, everybody talks about analytics and those kind of big keyword things. Is there anything else that kind of interests you that maybe, you know, listeners or somebody should look into or something that you think is kind of cool? Not to kind of put you on the spot here, but I guess that's what we're doing.
Yeah. So I mentioned one of them before, which is RPA, robotic process automation. So I think that's certainly something that is maybe a little bit off the radar right now of some contact centers. Certainly big centers are already there because they recognize the value of, you know, saving 20 seconds times 10,000 agents, right, on an action. Mm-hmm. But as robotic process automation gets more and more sophisticated and gets more and more integrated with the contact center suite of technology, I think that's definitely going to be something that'll be maybe more reachable for the masses, which could really change the agent role and the experience that agents have. I would also say, you know, just the analytics piece is certainly something that's becoming more and more prevalent. You should be talking about this, not me, right, as an analytics user. But I do think that that's gaining more and more traction because, you know, to steal a quote from you, the analytics for the people is becoming more and more real, right? You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to, you know, really get deep into those elements to be able to get meaningful outputs. And as that, you know, gets more democratized in technology and out to more and more of the customer population and agent population, I do think we'll see some growth there and some speed of that trend that really accelerates.
So you do listen to some things I say.
You tell me so many times, I have no choice but to listen.
For the people, Paul. Hey, man, I appreciate you, you know, taking the time. I can't, again, like I said at the beginning, I can't imagine how busy things are, how crazy it is. You guys have done such a good job with reaching out from a customer base, from us being able to turn a couple hundred seat center and really have agents and really as of last Wednesday, you know, having a plan, but having no idea how to implement. And then really almost 48 hours to 72 hours later to start having people home and now have 90% of the people home working at a very high level. It's a pretty cool time to live, right? And it's a pretty cool time to be in this space. And I'm glad for what you guys have done and you've made this pretty easy on a lot of people. So, you know, I really do appreciate that.
It was great to be here. It's good to, you know, have this as my first podcast topic. It'll certainly be a memorable topic looking back in history. But no, I think it's been great. And it's been interesting for me just to watch this organization. I've been here 4 years and to really rally around customers. And we've always been an organization that loves to solve really hard problems. And certainly the ones that are in front of us now are really hard. And so I've been proud to work here and proud to partner with customers and like you who can just, you know, we get together and say, here's what we need to do. And you know, we figure it out and make it happen and do it for, you know, our customers who need us the most. So it's been great. I appreciate coming on. And like I said, hopefully we break the internet with this, because that's really what I was going for. If we don't break the internet, I'm not coming back. I'll just be honest with you.
I know you're not a huge social media guy, but if anybody wants to follow you or do you want to give any contact information or if they want to get a hold of in contact, is there anything that you can maybe give on those terms that you'd like?
Yeah, sure. So certainly LinkedIn, you can follow me there. So Paul Herdman, with Nice in Contact, there is another Paul Herdman, but certainly.
Really?
Yeah, imagine that. So certainly you can follow me there. From a Nice in Contact perspective, obviously, you know, niceincontact.com will get you all of the assets that you need to connect with anyone inside our organization. We are also right now going out to customers who are really struggling with their business continuity plans. And helping them get to the cloud in 48 or so hours. So that's called CXone at Home. So if you're hearing that in the marketplace, that's for customers that, you know, really are in a bind And they've got premise systems and they're really struggling to take calls and have some business continuity. So we did enact a special plan. We've put some resources against going out to those customers and allowing them to do that for 45 days for free. So there's a small implementation fee to do that, but 45 days of the software for free, and we can bring you over in 48 or 72 hours to help you keep your business running and make sure that when your customers call, they don't get a busy signal, they can speak to a human. So certainly there's more information about that on niceincontact.com.
Awesome. Awesome. And just as a kind of to, I guess, put a bow around this. So everybody, we've been getting a lot of really good feedback and a lot of people who have been interacting in the Advice from a Call Center Geek Facebook community. So if you have not joined that, I know also there is the Nice in Contact community.
Yes.
That has been a really great resource for a lot of people. So, you know, you can kind of, if you are a customer, check that out. But if you are listening to the podcast, please head on over to Facebook. And then again, just like Paul, it's tlaird@expedia.net is my email. If you guys have any questions about anything that you've heard here or want some more information or any way that I can help you, please do not hesitate to ask. But Paul, I appreciate it, man.
Absolutely.
Good talking.
My pleasure. Good talk.
All right. I'll see you. Thanks, everybody.